Well, welcome to Front Range. My name is Ernest Smith. I'm the lead pastor. We're so grateful that you guys are joining us, whether you're joining us in person or maybe you're joining us online. We're grateful to have you. And our hope and prayer is that this will become a home for you, a place where you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. Hey, we have a few ways to do that. One, the easiest way is to attend what's called Next Steps. That's happening tonight, actually. We'll have free food. We'll have childcare available for you. And so if you've never been to Next Steps, maybe you've been coming just for a few weeks or months, or maybe you've been coming for years, but you've never come, join us tonight. It is a great opportunity to learn more about the church, meet some of the staff, but most importantly, figure out how you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith here at our church. So if you're interested in that, you can get more information on our website, or you can scan the QR code on your worship guide, or go to the app and you can get information there and register, or just show up. We'd love to have you. And then, I don't know if you know this, but in 4 weeks, there's this thing called Easter happening, which is crazy, right? Like, we're already in March and almost at Easter, and time flies by way too fast the older you get. Here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to think about somebody in your life that you can be praying for to invite this Easter season. You know, there's all kinds of people in our lives, whether they're neighbors or our coworkers or people that we meet at coffee shops or family members or whatever, that may not go to church, may not attend here at Front Range, and I just want to ask you to be praying for them. Like, think about somebody right now in your life that you know that doesn't go to church or isn't engaged in a church at all. Think about that person. You got that person? You got their name? I want you to be praying for them over the next 4 weeks. And that God would use you in their life to give them a simple invitation that can lead to life transformation. Like, that's really what can happen. Just simply inviting somebody can lead to their eternities being changed. I mean, what greater purpose do we have than being a part of that right there? Our kids are going to be doing it as well. We're giving away, we're giving all the kids these like little goodie bag things that they can give to their friends to invite them as well. So as adults, let's set the example for them in inviting people and praying for people in our lives. Okay, before we get into the message, here's what I want you to do. I want you to break out your phone. Go ahead, take out your phone. Some of you are like, it's church. I didn't bring my phone. God bless you. You're amazing. Like, you're my favorite. But most of us have our phone, so break it out, and we're going to put a little QR code up there. I want you to scan the QR code. You can do that right now. If you're like, I don't know what a QR code is or how to do it, you can just go to the website that's right there. And we do a survey every few times a year, and this survey just helps us to know how to best serve you. So we're asking you to do this because as a part of our role is to help you in your journey and your relationship with Christ. And no matter if you feel like, man, I'm there with him, or you feel like you're far away, we just want to know how to best serve the people of our church. And so as you do that and you sign in or whatever you got to do, you're going to come up to this survey. Some of you are going to complete it before I get done. That's totally fine because you can read faster than I can talk. But I'm going to walk you through it, okay? I'm going to do it as well. So it says this, in the last 4 months, are you guys there? Yep. Okay, good. All right, good. Two of you. Perfect. In the last 4 months, it says, I have, and then check all that apply. I've read the Bible more than the previous 4 months. I've utilized the message series hubs at least once. The series hubs are those things, I'll talk about it here in a second for this series, but we just give you resources. So if you want to grow in your faith, if you've accessed those, use my time and gifts to serve the church in some capacity. Took a step in my prayer life, been an intentional neighbor with at least one person. That's exactly what we were just talking about, or none of the above. There's no judgment here. If you're like, man, I haven't done any of those things, that's fine. Click that. This is for us to know how to best serve our church. In the last 4 months, I participated in, check all that apply. Maybe you've gone to Next Steps. If you haven't, there's a great Next Steps happening tonight. You can join us tonight. Men's or women's events, that's like men's breakfast, or we just had a men's chili cook-off yesterday, or we have ladies' night, so if you've ever been to any of those, community group, celebrate recovery, a class like our prayer course or grief share, or none of the above. Again, no worries if not. In the last 4 months, I've financially given nothing, something significantly, which is a percentage, tithe, which is 10%, or sacrificially above that. And I would like more information on how to grow my prayer life. I don't know about you, but that's probably the weakest area of my faith journey is my prayer life. So if you're like, yeah, I'd like to grow in that, just check yes. We're going to send you some resources. And then I'll commit to praying for at least one person to attend Easter service this year. Put their name in there. There's a box for their name. Put that in there. We want to be praying for them as well. So you can check that. And then if you want more information on anything, if we can be praying for you about anything, we take these really seriously. And we pray for you guys. We'll actually just reach out and say, hey, we're praying for you as well. So once you do that, submit it, and you're done. We do this, we'll be kind of reminding everybody all month. So if you're like, man, don't bother me, then do it. And then we won't bother you anymore. So again, just a way for us to help you guys and to serve you guys. All right, we got a big topic. So we're going to jump in. You guys ready? Say, I'm ready. All right, good, most of you. Okay, by show of hands, raise your hand. How many of you talk to yourself? Anybody? Yeah, most of them. Now, I'm not talking about like the weird, like you get into a corner, you're like, hi, Ernest, you know, like that kind of thing. If that's you, that's totally fine. No judgment from me, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like when you wake up in the morning, you're like, man, this is going to be a really rough day. Or I got way too much going on today. Or you look at your finances and you think, man, I'll never have enough. We're never going to get ahead. Or you make a mistake, you do something, you think, I'm always like this. I'll never get better. I'm not a good mom or I'm not a good dad. Now, for me, for years, I had this like endless loop in my head that I would not be a good father. I didn't know what a good father looked like. I didn't know how to become a good father. And so I just thought, man, I'll never be a good dad. There's not a chance I'll ever be a good dad. And that thought, those negative thoughts, they just start this loop in your head where you just can't break free of it. And what you say to yourself matters immensely. You could look throughout Scripture and you can see God talking a ton about our thoughts and our words and what we say to ourselves and what we say to others and how they impact us. You look at the law of cognition. The law of cognition says this, that what you think about impacts what you believe. What you believe impacts how you feel. And what you feel impacts what you do. So your brain is super powerful. And some of you might be like, I'm not sure if I actually believe that or whatever. So let me give you a real quick illustration. Greg, come on up here. You just took a bite of something and I pulled you up right when you're doing that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Greg, so here's the deal. I'm going to do a little, here, Greg, you come right here. You got a fan in the audience. So I have not told Greg what we're doing. I just asked him if he had good shoulders, okay? So he does not know this, so I need to make that very clear. Greg, go and put your arms out. Face the audience right here. And I want you to hold your arms up. Do not, I love that you're still eating. What are you eating? What is that thing? Is that a breakfast burrito?
I don't know. It was a morning treat.
A morning treat. No worries. Okay, arms out. Don't let me press down, okay? Real strong. Okay, not that strong, dude. Okay, go. You can put your arms down now. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to touch you or anything like that. I'm just going to say statements. And when I say these statements, I want you to say these statements to yourself. Okay, you don't have to say them out loud. You can just say them quietly or you can, whatever you want to do. But I want you to be thinking these statements about you. Okay? Greg, you are no good. You are terrible. Greg, you won't be able to do anything in life. Greg, you won't be able to accomplish anything. You're a bad father. Greg, you are no good. Okay, put your arms out. All right, open your eyes. Here's what I want you to do. Now I want you to say these statements to yourself, okay? Greg, you are incredible. Greg, you are an incredible dad. You are a great guy. Greg, you are a hard worker. Greg, you are a son of the Most High God. Okay, put your arms out. Thanks. Give it up for Greg. Thanks, buddy. By the way, Greg, I don't believe any of those first statements that I said to you, so I need to make sure that's very clear. I left a few people out of that because I might believe that. No, I'm just joking. Man, isn't that crazy? Like, your body literally responds to the negative thoughts that you have. To the negativity that you have, your body literally responds. But not just that, right? Like, negativity impacts everything. Today, we're going to be looking at this topic of negativity. We're in a series right now called Taboo, where we're looking at the bigger topic of mental health. We've looked at some really cool topics. We've talked about myths of mental health. We looked at anxiety. We looked at burnout. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to hit some really, really tough subjects that I think impact all of us. And specifically, this one today, I think impacts every single person in here. We have a message series held for this series. If you go, you can scan the QR code on your worship guide. You can go to our website. You can open up the app and just find Series Hubs. And there's all kinds of resources there for you. If you want to grow in your faith, especially for this series, there's all kinds of resources to help with mental health. okay? So if you need anything, they should be right there on our series hub. Now, how many of you, by show of hands, how many of you would say that our world is becoming increasingly negative? Anybody? Yeah. I mean, I think all of us would say that. There's like an epidemic of negativity. And I would say this. I would say that the negativity is not just a practical problem, meaning it doesn't just impact your body. It doesn't just impact your relationships. I would say that negativity is a spiritual problem, that at its core, it is a spiritual issue. We see that all throughout Scripture. One of the best examples of that is Numbers chapter 13 and 14. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Numbers. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. It's going to be up on the screen. If you need a Bible, we'd love to get you one. Just as you're walking back to your car, there's a Connect tent, the blue tent. Just ask for a Bible. We'll give you one. We don't need your name, your money, anything like that. So Numbers 13, this story is one of the most famous. It's one of the messiest, one of the most discouraging, one of the most insightful, and it's one of the most helpful for humanity. We don't have time to go through the whole story, so I want to encourage you, get your Bible when you get home and read it. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Let me set it up for you. You've got Moses. He's with the Israelites. They've left Egypt at this point. They're in the desert, kind of wandering around, but they're right on the cusp of the promised land. God has promised them this incredible land, and they're right there. I mean, they're a couple days out from entering into the promised land. And so God tells Moses, I want you to get 12 leaders, one leader from each tribe. There's 12 tribes, and I want you to send them into the promised land and just scout it out. Just see what they see, what they feel, all of that. And that's where we pick up the story, Numbers chapter 13, starting with verse 17. It says, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. So Moses says, hey, go out and look at this land. If it was today, he would say, hey, I want you to go into the town and see if they have any gyms and if there's anybody actually in the gyms working out, like how big and strong are these people? Like, go look at their yards. Are their yards, like, is there a lot of grass and trees, or is it just a bunch of rocks, you know, and xeriscaping it? I want you to find the Chick-fil-A's. Like, see if there's any Chick-fil-A's because you need some Chick-fil-A's. Like, that's kind of what he's doing here is they go into the land, and you've got 40 days to kind of explore it and bring back a report. So these spies, they go into the land, and then here's the report that they bring back. Verse 27, it says, they gave Moses this account. Not just Moses, the entire nation is listening. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. Hey, Moses, we went, and man, it is awesome. I mean, here's some of the fruit. The fruit was huge. Man, it truly is flowing with milk and honey. Like, this is a great place. But, say but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. So there's no mention of the soil, there's no mention of trees or anything. He's just like, hey man, it really is good. However, the people are really strong. They're terrifying. And you jump over to verse 30, it says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, but we can certainly do it. So you've got these 12 people, and 10 of them are going, no, let's not do it. They're too strong, they're too powerful, and all of that. And you've got Caleb, and later we find out Joshua as well, and they're like, no, we got this. We can do this. But then it goes into verse 31, this crowd again. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. So not only are they being negative, like there's not a chance, we can't do this, but now they're just making up stuff. Like they were on a spy mission. There's no way they were seen by these people or they would have been killed. But they said, even to them we look like grasshoppers. This is bad, guys. We can't do this. We're going to see the impact of their negativity and what it does to the nation, what it does to their own lives. What we're going to learn is we're going to learn four truths about negativity. Okay, truth number one is this. Negativity imprints deeper and stays longer. Negativity imprints deeper and stays longer. Neuroscience shows us that negativity imprints quicker and it imprints deeper than positivity. Right? Like, you get this. Let me give you a little illustration here. So you've got... You know, you've got two buckets here. One is for positive thoughts. One is for negative thoughts. And you've got one positive thought that goes in, right? When that positive thought goes into your life, like, ah, oh, you're amazing, or, you know, your outfit looks really good today, or whatever it is, then the scales are outweighed. But then you've got the negative thought, just one. And some of you are like, but Ernest, that's a lot more water going in. That's because neuroscience tells us that one negative thought weighs a lot more than one positive thought. In fact, when you look at science and you talk to people who study this kind of stuff, they would say that in most cases, it takes 17 positive comments to get rid of the one negative. 17. But even if you go low end of what science says and you go 5, you still need 5 positive comments to balance it out. So not only do you look good, man, your spouse tells you you're Superman or you're Wonder Woman or whatever your hero is. Your kids actually say something positive for once to you, you know? Your boss compliments the job that you did or whatever it may be. And you've got this balancing act that might happen. But the reality is that's on the low end. Depending on the thoughts, you're going to be greatly outweighed. I'm going to do that to save our musicians' stuff up here, so hopefully it doesn't fall too much. We get it. One negative thing imprints quicker and deeper. You've seen this in your own life, right? Think about what a coach said to you at some point, or maybe what your spouse said to you, or maybe what a child said, or maybe what a friend or a former friend said to you. Like, we get what it does to us. I remember when I was 10 years old, I was playing baseball, and my dad was in the stands, and he's yelling at me to tell me I'm doing something wrong. I remember that very clearly. I remember this experience, like, you shouldn't do that, you know, and all of that. And, like, in those moments, logic doesn't take over. Have you ever noticed that? Like, when somebody says something negative to you, you're not like, is that true? Like, I didn't go, well, my dad's never played baseball, and I'm actually pretty good at it, or was pretty good at it. So, like, whatever he's saying, like, I shouldn't take that personally. Like, logic doesn't take over in that moment. The negativity just imprints inside of you. And for many people, that negativity then becomes a habit. Like, you become the very thing that imprints on you or imprints inside of you. The negativity that you don't like and you don't want, it impacts you in such a way that you actually become that. Why? Because one truth about negativity is it impacts quicker and deeper. A second truth about negativity is it spreads like wildfire. It spreads like wildfire. Look at verse 14, verse 1 through 3. It says, that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? You've got two guys going, no, we got this. God already told us it's our land. All we got to do is step into it. And you've got 10 guys going, nah, it's going to be too hard. These people are too powerful. And that negativity spreads like wildfire. We understand this. Like, what goes faster on social media, positive or negative? Always negative. Like, what sells? What sells on the news or in TV? It's always negative. Like, that's what, like, the fear and all of that people want us to have, that's what sells. That's what gets the clicks. We understand that negativity spreads quickly. If it didn't, we could shut it down. Right? Like, somebody says one negative thing, you're like, that's not true. And you just shut it off. But that's not what happens. What happens is that negativity just continues to build on itself and it begins to spread like wildfire. Third truth about negativity is negativity infects your relationship with God and with others. It infects you. I don't have to preach really about this. You get it. I mean, we've all had people in our lives that are super negative people. And none of us are like, you know what? I really like hanging out with that person. Like, they're so negative. It just is good for my soul. Right? Like, no, we would never be like that. Right? Because it infects us. It's like a disease. Right? I've seen what negativity does to me, and I've seen what my negativity does to other people. It infects our relationships with others. Look at chapter 14, verse 33. So the people, you know, they're complaining and all of that. And here's what God says to them. He says, your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lie in the wilderness. Your kids are going to suffer because of your sins. Like, that's how it impacts people. I mean, negativity, you've seen how it impacts marriages. It impacts relationships with kids. It impacts relationships with friends. Negativity can destroy those relationships because it's a disease. But it also impacts our relationship with God. Look at the very next verse. It says, for 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explore the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I said it earlier that negativity is not just a practical issue, it's a spiritual issue. And the reason why it's a spiritual issue is because when you have negativity in your life, what you're actually doing is you're not trusting in who God is, his character, his faithfulness, his goodness, and you're not trusting what he said. So these guys, like, God's already told them, hey, this is the land I promised you. All you have to do is step into it. They're literally a couple days' journey from walking into the land that God has promised them for thousands of years. You would think they'd be like, let's go, guys. Pack up the tents. We can't wait. And so this spy mission is really just a mere formality. It's just Moses going, hey, I mean, God's already said this, but we're gonna send some guys in. Just see what we're up against. Just see what's going on. And 10 of them come back. They're like, we can't do it. We can't do it. I know God said this, but it's not true. We just can't do this, guys. And when you choose not to trust God at his word, that is sin. And sin impacts our relationship with God. The last truth about negativity is this. Negativity can keep us from God's purpose for our lives. Negativity can keep us from God's purpose in our own lives. I mean, God has a purpose for you, but when you choose not to trust in him and trust in his word, then you just kind of do life on your own. You just kind of choose what you want to choose, and you don't ever do what God wants you to do, what he's created you to do, what he has planned for you to do. Like, take this story, for instance. You've got 12 guys. Raise your hand. This is not like a knowledge test or anything, so if you don't know, don't feel, you know, like, man, I should know or whatever. But raise your hand if you've ever heard of Caleb or Joshua. Anybody ever heard of Caleb or Joshua? Okay, most of us. Can you name one of the other 10? I'll guarantee you can. Because they've got really weird names. And unless you memorize that one verse, why? Because they never achieved God's purpose for them. These were leaders. These weren't like random guys. It wasn't like, okay, let's just choose 12. Who wants to go? And, you know, one of you was like, oh, I got to use the bathroom. Yep, you. You know, like, it wasn't like that. It was like, we want the leader of each tribe. This was a big deal. These people were seen by everyone as the example. And we don't know them. The only ones we know are Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because God said, because you believed, because you stood firm, because you had a different outtake on this, you can go into my promise. They were the only two from their entire generation that were allowed into the promised land. The guys who were negative, we don't even know their names. We have them in the Bible, but you don't know them because they lost out on God's purpose. So if negativity imprints deeper and quicker and it lasts longer, if it spreads like wildfire, if it impacts your relationship with God and with others, and it impacts the God's purpose for your life, then how do we change it? Like, how do we not be such negative people? Like, we understand that negativity will impact our marriages, it will impact our relationship with our kids, it impacts everything. So, like, if we know that, then how do we do something different? Well, it's not my goal to do, like, self-help. That's not who I am. So, for me, I try to look in Scripture and go, okay, what does God's Word say? And you look all throughout Scripture, God talks about what you set your mind on, how you think, what you believe, and how that impacts everything. So you look at one passage that I love. You look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5. It says this, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Say death. Awesome. Four of you. Let's try that again. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Say death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Like, imagine if somebody described your life as somebody who has life and peace. I would love for people to describe me that way. That no matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what I'm walking through, no matter what challenges face before me or that my family's walking through, that we could say, man, my life is described as someone who has life and peace. Well, the scriptures give us the way to do that. It says, if you set your minds on the things of the flesh, what are the things of the flesh? Things of the world. And if we just said that the world is becoming increasingly negative, then that means your mind is going to want to wander to increasingly negative things. So you're going to want to go there. And if you do, the result is death. But if you set your mind on the Spirit, if you focus on God and who He is, then you'll have life and peace. So how do you set your mind on the Spirit? I'm going to give you two very practical things to help you set your mind on the Spirit. Number one, you remove negativity. So you just have to come over. It's super easy for me to say, not as easy to do. You've got to take the negative out. Remove it from your life. How do you do that? You stop looking at social media. Stop reading CNN or Fox or whatever news stations. Like, you know what is negative in your life. Do everything you can to get that out. If it's a person and you can't get them out of your life, then put up really good boundaries. Have really hard conversations. Whatever you need to do. Here's what I would challenge you to do. We're in March. Over the next month, no, let's not do a month because that's too difficult for people. Over the next seven days, I want to challenge you to take a remove negativity challenge. Just 7 days, super easy. For the next 7 days, identify whatever it is that brings negativity into your life and get rid of it. So if it's social media, don't get on it for 7 days. Really easy to do, should be. It's just one avenue. If it's the news, don't watch the news, don't read it, don't listen to it, turn it. Like, watch something more positive, read something more positive. Almost every news station is awful, okay? They sell fear, is what they sell. So unless you're reading the Good News Network, that's about the only one that I know that has good news. Unless you're reading that, get rid of it. For 7 days, just 7 days. Well, Ernest, what happens if like some world event happens? You'll be okay. God's still on the throne. Okay? You won't need your gun and all of your, you know, canned goods and all that yet. You'll be fine. Just get rid of it for 7 days. 7 days. That's it. If there's somebody in your life that is negative, put up strong boundaries. If there's somebody that's really close to you that you can't get rid of, have a strong conversation. Like, have a real conversation. And if you're that person, then say, hey, for the next 7 days, like, keep me accountable. Like, I want you to hold me accountable. If you realize, like, I am that negative person, then ask to be held accountable. Yeah, it's pretty simple on how to do that. Here's what I would challenge you to do. Put a jar. Put a jar in your kitchen, and every time you're negative, you have to donate $5 to the jar. Okay? If you're like, well, I don't have cash, then Venmo your spouse every time. And if you can't do that, my Venmo is at Ernest_Smith. Every time, I didn't challenge you to increase it to $100 every time. No, I'm joking. Like, you got to do something that, like, forces you, right? That, like, actually holds you accountable. That hurts a little bit, maybe, if you're that person. And negativity becomes a habit. So none of us wake up one day and, like, I really want to be negative, and it just happens. Like, you just kind of spiral that way. I mean, if you're anything like me, like, when I think of the what ifs, I'm not usually thinking about what ifs positively. Like, what happens if my mom actually wins the lottery and she gives me half of that? That'd be awesome. I can't wait. But yeah, that's not where I go. Right? My what ifs are typically negative because the negativity imprints in you and it begins to change you. So remove the negativity. The second thing that you can do is to reframe your thoughts. Reframe your thoughts. How do you do that? Two ways. Number one, get into God's word. Like, that's the number one way you can start to reframe your thoughts. Like, when you get into His Word, you start to understand who He is. You start to see who he is, his character, his faithfulness, his goodness, his love for you. You start to see that. Then you start to see like what he says about you, what he says to you. As you're reading that and you've taken out the negative, then you're just dumping all of this positive, all of God's word into you. And some of us, man, we're like, man, I'm good. I read the Bible pretty consistently or whatever. Some of us, we're like, I don't even know where to start. Go to the Message Series Hub that we talked about earlier. We have two reading plans on there. They're 7 days long, okay? At least the second one is. They're 7 days long. So for 7 days, remove negativity, and for 7 days, replace it with God's word. And just see how it impacts you. I dare you. See how it impacts you. And I bet you'll want to make that 7-day challenge a little bit longer. Get out the negative even more and put God's word in even more. So how do you reframe your thoughts? You put God's word in. Second, you gotta have biblical community. You have to have people around you that love you, that care about you, they care about God's word, they care about God's purpose for your life, and they're willing to encourage you and build you up, and at times challenge you, but even in the challenge, you feel loved for and cared for and built up and all of that. That's the only way you reframe your thoughts, is to put truth in you and get good people who know truth around you. Imagine what could happen. Imagine what your marriage could look like. Imagine what your relationships with other people could look like if negativity wasn't the driving factor. Imagine what your relationship with God could look like if your first thought wasn't to doubt him, to doubt his goodness, to doubt his faithfulness, to question all of that. Imagine what our lives could look like. Imagine what this world could look like. That's the kind of world I want to live in. But it starts with me. It doesn't start with the news changing. The news isn't going to change. It doesn't start with social media changing. Social media is not going to change. It starts with me. Okay, God, I'm going to remove the negative. And I'm going to reframe my thoughts with your word and the right community. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. I thank you so much, God, for your word. Thank you for the story of these men that you chose simply to go in there and just give a report. We got a report that was based on your word, what you've already said. And Father, I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. I want to be the type of person that believes so hard, so fast onto your word and who you are, that God, there's no question. No matter what's going on in my life, no matter what I'm being faced with, that God, you are good. You are faithful. You are powerful. You are loving. You are just. And that I want to hold strong onto that. And that God, may I know your word so well that I know what you say to me. When I look in the mirror and my mind wants to be governed by my flesh, my mind is governed by your spirit. Father, when I look at others, when I look at this world, that my mind would not be governed by the flesh, by what I can see, but it would be governed by your spirit. The Holy Spirit, you would guide me. You would direct me. And Father, I pray that as we remove the negative in our lives and as we reframe our thoughts and with your word and biblical community, God, that you would begin to transform us. That the negative thoughts that we have, the negative what ifs, the habit that happens, that God, it would be destroyed and broken in Jesus' name. Father, it would be replaced with your word and your truth about who you are and what you say. May that govern our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.